Let's pray and let's sing a song or two.
Amen.
Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day. And thank you, Lord, for the life and health and strength that we have. And I pray that you would bless it, Lord, please. Do indeed miss all those that can't be here for whatever the reason. I pray your good hand upon each one of them for their daily bread, for our daily bread. And Lord, for our brethren across the country and the world that are preparing to meet, to worship and to praise and to read your word. Lord, please be with each one of us. I pray also for Israel at this time, that you would bless and provision and protect them, and that you would hinder all those that hate you and hate Israel, Lord, that you would oppose them and bless those that bless Israel. Lord, be one of our number, and Lord, please don't be done with us. But please, Lord, continue on with us. We love you and thank you, and we ask all this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right, if you would like to take and turn it to, you can just find it here a second. It's not that one. Hymn number 60. Number 60 in this book. We haven't sung this one for a while. It's called Face to Face. Hymn number 60. We'll remain seated as we sing this. Definitely not that one. I don't know how I got that.
Face to face with Christ, my Savior.
to sing number 23, another one that we haven't sung for a little bit. Number 23 in the big book, that is, There Is Power in the Blood. If you're able, stand as we sing. Hymn number 23, There Is Power in the Blood.
Chapter 17. Ezekiel chapter 17. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, put forth a riddle, and speak a parable unto the house of Israel, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, a great eagle with great wings, long winged, full of feathers, which has diverse colours, came unto Lebanon and took the highest branch of the cedar. He cropped off the top of his young twigs and carried it into a land of trapping and set it in the city of merchants. He took also of the seed of the land and planted it in a fruitful field. He placed it by great waters and set it as a willow tree. And it grew and became a spreading vine, low stature, whose branches turned towards him. The roots thereof were under him, so it became a vine and brought forth branches and shot forth sprigs. There was also another great eagle with great wings and many feathers to behold. This vine did bend her roots towards him and shoot forth her branches toward him, that he might water it by the furrow of her plantation. It was planted in a good soil by great waters, that it might bring forth branches, and that it might bear fruit, and it might be goodly vine. Say thou, thus saith the Lord God, shall it prosper? Shall he not pull up the root thereof and cut off the fruit thereof? And it wither, and it shall wither in all the leaves of her spring, even without great power of many people to pluck it up by the root thereof. Yea, behold, being planted shall it prosper, shall it not utterly wither? When the east wind touches it, it shall wither in the furrows where it grew. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Say now to the rebellious house, Know ye not what these things mean? Tell them, Behold, the king of Babylon has come to Jerusalem, and has taken the king thereof, and the princes thereof, and led them with him to Babylon. And have taken up the king's seed, and made a covenant with him, and have taken an oath of him. He has also taken the mighty of the land. And the kingdom shall be, might be based, that it might not lift itself up, but that by keeping of his covenant it might stand. But he rebelled against him and sent in his ambassadors into Egypt, that they might give him horses and much people. Shall he prosper? Shall he escape that does such things, that does such things? Or shall he break the covenant and be delivered? As I live, saith the Lord God, surely in the place where the king dwelleth, and made him king, those whose oath he despised, and whose covenant he brake, even with him in the midst of Babylon, he shall die. Neither shall Pharaoh with his mighty army and great company make for him in the war, by casting up mounts and building forts to cut off many persons. Seeing he despised the oath by breaking the covenant, when lo, he hath given his hand, and hath done all these things, he shall not escape. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, as I live, surely mine oath that he hath despised, and my covenant that he hath broken, even it will I recompense upon his head, his own head. And I will spread my net upon him, and he shall be taken in my snare. I will bring him up to Babylon, and I will plead with him there for his trespass, that he hath trespassed against me. And all his fugitives and all his bands shall fall by the sword, and they that remain shall be scattered toward all winds, and ye shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it. Thus saith the Lord God, I will also take the highest branch, the high cedar, and said, I will crop off from the top of this, his young twig, a tender one, who will plant it upon a high mountain and eminent. In the mountain of the height of Israel, I will plant it, and it shall bring forth boughs and bear fruit, and be goodly cedar, and under it shall dwell all fowls of every wing in the shadow of branches thereof shall dwell. And all the tree of the field shall know that I, the Lord, have brought down the high tree, have exalted the low tree, have dried up the green tree, and have made the dry tree to flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken and have done it. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Norman. Just want to remind everybody about our prayer list. That's for today and next week. The wee pink one that's out there on the table, I hope you've got one. Does anybody have anything that they would like to add to the prayer list? It's pretty fresh, it still has that new prayer list smell. How are we fixed for private prayer requests? Does anybody have any thanks that they would like to add to this for the time being? Grandchild. That's fine. We'll have a wee word of prayer. There's plenty of other things to pray about right now. And then we'll sing another song. So let's bow our heads and close our eyes and we'll pray. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you again for the open invitation that we have to come before you at any time of the day or night, in any situation. And I pray you please now, Father, that you would please grant our private prayer requests according to your will. You know all of the things that we have set out in front of us. You know the difficulties that and temptations and obstacles that each one of us face. And I pray, Lord, we know that when we wait upon you, we shall mount up with wings as eagles. And I pray that for this morning and for going onward from here. I do indeed pray, Lord, that you would be with our absent brethren, with Frank and Colin and Will and Christine and Mary Ann and John and John and Steve and Pat, Lord. I pray that you would minister to each one of them. I pray you too, Father, for that wee girl, Michelle, that we met this time last week up at the Crescent Link. I pray you, Lord, for her. I pray you, Lord, that for the many that are like her, that are asking questions and that are thinking hard right now about sin and judgment to come and just exactly where they will spend eternity. But, Father, in the meantime, I pray you, Lord, for your wisdom and your strength, for healing touch as you were required, and, Lord, for the words to speak whenever we have opportunity to open our mouths. We really love to see souls saved, the borders of Bethel being enlarged, but we leave these things to your feet as between folks and you, Lord. But I pray you too that we would set forth a good example as we go. Thank you for all the work we've been able to get done at the church. And pray you, Lord, for strength of limb and soundness of mind as we go on. We love you and thank you. And pray you, Lord, please, for Stan and the folks in Bangor, for Brother Ed Dussett and the folks in Temple Patrick, for Glenn Wilkinson, Lord, and the people up there at Listengelvin, for all of those, Lord, that really do love you and the full counsel of your word, Lord, don't be done with us. Please keep using us. We leave these things at your feet, and we ask them, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, according to your will. Amen. Amen. Let's sing another song. We're going to move over to the wee black. Would you be okay to play number two in the wee black book? Number two, this blessed old book, if you would like to take and turn to that. Number two, this blessed old book.
It's a light to my pathway and a lamp to my feet.
413 or 414. Stand up for Jesus is a number 413. Would that be it? Yeah, that's 413. If you're able, join me on your feet or stand up as we sing stand up for Jesus. Romans chapter 1. I think everybody has a copy of the notes this morning. That doesn't mean you can leave the service early, because you have the notes in hand. Did you ever hear of, is it Marky's wee friend, or maybe it was Marky, who just had the notes, he didn't really go to class, but they cribbed the notes and passed the exam. It's not quite the same as that whenever it comes to church. But we're reading in Romans chapter 1 this morning, and I only want to read the first 7 verses. It's not very many compared to the numbers that we usually read, but there are a bunch of other verses that I would like to draw to your attention, mostly Old Testament, and to that end, that's why I printed all the notes out. So, let's read Romans chapter 1. And the Word of God says, Paul, servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That is the start of our Bible readings. The title for the message is The Old Testament Jesus, or Christ in the Old Testament. Let's have another prayer, and then we will continue. Heavenly Father, thank you again, Lord, for saving our souls. Thank you again, Lord, for the roof over our heads, and the heat, and the life, and the strength, and the wee taste of sunshine we have, and the promise of more this week. I pray you, Lord, that you would be one of our number. I pray you, Lord, for understanding as we read this word. And I pray you, Lord, for the words. As I speak this word, please bless each and every one of us, and please be one of our number, and please minister to each and every one of our brethren, wherever it is they are. And we pray all these things, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 This is Paul's letter, the first of Paul's letters, to the church at Rome. Now, I need to clarify that statement a little bit. It wasn't to the Roman Catholic Church, because that didn't really even appear on the horizon until about 250 years later, about AD 300. So this is to the Bible-believing church that was in Rome, that would have been in people's houses, and the believers would have met there, having spread far and wide from all of the hundreds and thousands that heard the Lord, even from the 500 that saw him alive after he was raised from the dead. But it wasn't the Roman Catholic Church. As we begin this reading, we have a very bold claim. Paul the Apostle calls himself a servant of Christ. Servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle and separated unto the gospel of God. And that's a big claim. That is a very big thing to say. And anybody can say anything, and we understand that these days from our politicians and the things that they say and the lies that they tell. Unfortunately, their deeds do not match their words. But Paul was a different story. He says that he was a servant of Jesus. Now, there was one other man in the Bible whom God called a servant. And it's way back in the Old Testament when the Lord was speaking to Joshua, he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. And if you were to cast your mind back to think about all of the things that Moses went through and all of the things that happened to Moses and the times that he spent in prayer and in the company of God and then laying down the law, quite literally, for the children of Israel and even for us today, I hope that maybe that would give you an idea of what it means to be, not just to be called the servant of God, but to be the servant of God. And here's another thing. He was called to be an apostle, and that's an office. He was the 14th apostle. There weren't 12, there were 14. There were the original 12. Judas Iscariot hanged himself. There was another man, I can't remember his name, was it Matthias, was called to be an apostle in his place. And then Paul the Apostle. 14 apostles. Sometimes you get that in quiz questions. That's the proper answer. And here's another thing. He says he was separated unto the gospel of Christ. That doesn't really mean very much to us these days, but it's a big thing. Because this Paul the Apostle, he even called himself a Pharisee of the Pharisees. In other words, he was on the top. He was slated for great things in the Jewish religion. He'd never broken the commandments. He said, as touching the law, he was blameless. And as we have mentioned before, there's about 603 commandments. 603 individual commandments, which is nearly enough for two different commandments every day, and you have to keep them all. He was very, very strict. In fact, just before this, he had been deputized by the Jewish faith to go and arrest those troublemaking Christians in Damascus. And that just didn't mean putting an ankle bracelet on them. That meant having them put in jail, and sometimes, many times, even put to death. And you can read in the book of Acts how they tried to kill Paul a number of times, how they tried to kill the other disciples a number of times, the other apostles, and the number of times they wheeled and dealed about killing Jesus. So Paul put all his aspirations, his career prospects, the promise of wealth and power and authority, he put all those aside to serve God. He knew what was going to happen whenever he met with God on the road to Damascus. Because he was the one, he was the axe man for the Jewish religion. He answered the call. He said, what do you want me to do, Lord? Do you remember whenever the Lord said to Ananias, go and baptize this Saul of Tarsus. I must show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. He knew. But one thing that we have that he didn't have is the very thing that we're reading. He didn't have the history that makes up the rest of the New Testament. He didn't have many of the fulfilled prophecies that are written in the New Testament. All that Paul had was from the very recent accounts of his account with Christ and the Old Testament. And he was able to take that and prove that Jesus is the Messiah that the Jewish people were waiting for. And that it's all about God. It's all about the Son of God that gave his life on the cross, verse number 4, raised himself from the dead on the third day and ascended into heaven. And he left behind, of course, the command to preach the gospel to every creature and the Holy Spirit to secure and live with and give power and comfort and strength and guidance to anybody that will answer that call. And Paul demonstrated many times. And he always pointed to Jesus, whom the Jews, out of jealousy, put to death. I am sure he may even have seen some of the miracles, but he spoke that it was a common thing. Jesus is out and about. There's a miracle happening. He raised the dead. He cast out devils. He calmed the storms. He walked on the water and he healed the sick. And he preached the gospel of repentance and belief in God. However, no one really put their faith in him as such until he did the one thing that no other religious leader had done before, and none has ever done since. Got a sneeze coming in? No, it's away. And that was, of course, to raise himself from the dead. 3 days after that, he had been killed. Killed twice, in fact, because he gave up the ghost on the cross. And then a centurion was commanded to go and make sure that he was dead. And he stuck a spear up through his ribcage into his heart. So he was killed twice. And even after that, he showed himself alive to over 500 people. As Paul was writing in his letter to the Corinthians, he said, after all of that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present time. That's about 30 or 40 years after the birth of Christ, he says, but some are falling asleep. And all the blessings, and all the helps, and all the promises that are in the Word of God are for believers. And for believers, obviously people that have repented of their sins and trusted in faith, that have turned up and done what God has asked them to do. Now, this wasn't just some flash-in-the-pan idea that Paul had. But it came hand-in-hand with the salvation that Paul accepted on the road to Damascus whenever he said, Lord, who are you? Whenever the bright light shone down, he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest, God the Son, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. With all that you know of the Old Testament that forms the foundation of everything that we believe in and what you have committed your life to, can you not see me? Can you not see that it's me that you're fighting against? Now here we have a man who knew the Bible, the Old Testament, inside out and backwards. He comes face to face with the Messiah of the Old Testament, of the Jews, for the very first time. And understood that this God that he was set about to destroy the believers in, he was God. The people that he had arrested, I am sure that laid very hot stripes on his conscience. But I'm going to tell you something. I have a notion that all the things, all the prophecies, all the scriptures that were in the, that are in the Old Testament, that speak to the God of the Bible and him being Jesus Christ, the Messiah, came to him in a flash. I would say maybe even more dramatically than it would do for me whenever I am sitting down and writing a sermon. A lot of the thoughts and the ideas, they just come to me in a flash. It's a remembered verse that backs a thing up, or there's a verse of scripture that refutes a claim that's out there in the world. And it's the same with any tradesman or any craftsperson. Any builder will know all the things that he needs as he goes to put a project together. Any doctor will know the tools that they need and the treatments that need to be given if someone presents with a certain set of circumstances. And I would say with my hand and my heart, for a people at a time where there weren't as many distractions, when there was not as much going on in the world as there is right now, it wouldn't take them too long to see Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. Paul did, and it changed them. And instead of going to the Damascus to persecute gospel believers, he went to preach to them and to make more of them. And I got to thinking, what would be some of those verses And that is why I have the printout for you. There's about a page full of Bible verses that I would like to share with you from the Old Testament that can only point to Jesus Christ. And one of the ones that isn't actually there is when Abraham went to take Isaac up into a mountain and for a burnt offering, because the Lord had said, offer your son Isaac for a burnt offering to me. And as he took Isaac up the mountain, Isaac asked him, where is the lamb? And Abram said, the Lord will provide himself a lamb. In other words, speaking that the Lord would provide himself as a lamb and would provide himself for himself a lamb, his son Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world to pay for our sins. So here's one from Zechariah, that's coming up close to the end of the Old Testament. And this one, they're in no particular order, and I hope they help. It says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, he is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. And of course we know that that was fulfilled whenever he rode into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey on a Palm Sunday. And that came 483 years after the going forth of the commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. 483 years, it says, it would be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, a week being a measure of 7 years. And of course it talks about Jerusalem being built in troubled times. Now a lot of people say, well, that is only one. That's one thing that refers to God. And yes, that's exactly what Jesus did, and it never happened for anybody else, and it hasn't happened since. But here's another one from Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 7. The Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now that wouldn't have been common knowledge except for the people that took time to speak to Mary and her tell her story about the virgin birth. And if we only have to flip a page or two in the book of Isaiah to read a little bit more of the Lord's pedigree. Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's the name of Jesus Christ. A child was born, the virgin birth, a son was given to us, the Son of God, and the Bible, of course, talks about him coming to rule and to reign. The increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. In other words, God is going to make sure it happens, and we have already seen 2,000 years ago the Lord born into this world, and of course him riding into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. There is another great prophecy in Zechariah which talks about his death. And it says in Zechariah 13, and one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. And Deuteronomy 23 talks about him that is hanged is accursed of God, which was a picture of the resurrection, or not the resurrection, the crucifixion, both of those verses, and the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ became a curse for us so that we could have his righteousness and his eternal life. The wounds in the house of my friends was, of course, pointing to the fact that it was the Jews The ones that should have worshipped him and should have praised him as God were the very ones that had him put to death. And we read on. And we read what the Lord came to do, of course, in Isaiah 53. The Bible says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. This is a picture of the Lord's payment on the cross for our sins. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. In other words, we are saved from that forever because we have faith and trust in what Jesus went through on the cross. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb, as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Even that was mentioned whenever none of the witnesses could agree as to what Jesus had done that would make him worthy of crucifixion. And all he had to say was, you arrested me illegally last night. You have no witnesses against me now. I can walk away. And that would have saved you or me, and you or I would have taken that option. We would have said, hey, this is a farce. It's illegal. I can walk away by your own laws. But sadly, he opened not his mouth. Do you remember what he said to his apostles, his disciples, as he was being arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane? He said, right now, I could open my mouth and summon 12 legions of angels. They could decimate the entire earth, and I would be justified in doing it. But I love you guys, and I want to save your souls. So here we have, he made his grave with the wicked. He was crucified between two thieves, and with the rich in death. In other words, he was buried in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb, but only for a little bit. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. All this stuff is in the Old Testament. Of all the people that could be singing the praises of God, you wouldn't expect it to be Job, but this is what Job said about the Lord walking on the face of the earth. Not in the days that we're of Jesus Christ, but in the days of Jesus Christ when he returns. And he said, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. And this goes even farther than the days of Paul. This goes to the days that are just around the corner now, when the Lord comes back to rule and reign from Jerusalem. Now, as we move towards the end of the Old Testament, Malachi the prophet, in the very last few verses of Malachi chapter 4, this is what God told Malachi to tell the Jewish people. I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. And John the Baptist came, preaching in the spirit of Elijah. Now, couple of prophecies that are yet to be brought to pass. One of them comes from nearly 3,000 years ago. This is in Psalm 2 and verse 7. And we read Psalm 2 not that very long ago. It says, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. And the last couple of verses, where it talks about the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, and what he's going to do in not very many years hence. It says, the Lamb, which is the Lamb of God, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them, lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And it talks about the way the Lord will deal with all those that come against him. And he says in Revelation 19, that out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Now the last couple are for us. Those are ones that apply, that are prophetic still for us, and have yet to be fulfilled. But all of the other prophecies that we have looked at over the years point to these happening at least 7 years from now, where the Lord comes back to rule the world. Paul didn't have those back then. We have them now so that we can be in the same position that Paul was. Back then, Paul only had the Old Testament. And from those, and from the touch of God on in his life, Paul realized that this book, it's not just full of morality tables like Aesop's Fables. It's not just a morality tale, although it is a moral book. It is a book of what you should do and what you shouldn't do and the effects that it will have on you. Paul realized it's the actual Word of God. And that it is so important that we become familiar with it, that we follow its teachings, that we get saved, that we obey what God says in our lives. Because as Christians, we are going to live with God forever. So would it not make sense to live with God right here and now? Understand better, treat people right. But there's no other book on the face of the earth, unless it plagiarized stuff and steals stuff from the Bible, that has the prophecy of the Bible. The things that God, the God that created time, I was going to point to the picture that's normally up there where it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God created time and space and matter, all of those things. In the same way that we would create a picture with a pencil, that is not us. That is just something that we have created, and we can do whatever we like with it. Time and matter and space were created by God, and he has demonstrated in history and with the turning of the hands and the clock that he can do anything he wants with time, with space, and with matter. He healed people. He told the water not to give way whenever he walked on it. He calmed the storms. He cast out devils. He multiplied a little boy's packed lunch over 5,000, maybe 15 or 20,000 times to feed thousands of people. This is the Word of God. This has everything in it that we need to read to understand that we are sinners, that God loves us and has provided a salvation for us and wants that we do that, to read it and understand that the God that saved us is the God that can make these wild prophecies and make them come true. And we see it even now. We're not dealing with an ordinary book. We're dealing with one of the most common, yet one of the most hated books in the world, and it's probably hated more in churches than it is out in the world, the King James Bible. It is so important. And like Paul, we would need to seriously consider where it is we're going and what it is we're doing with our lives. I would like to call myself a servant of God, but when he calls, I do the things that he asks me to do. But I know I am faulty. I'm a sinful creature, and there are times that I don't start preparing the messages whenever God says you really should be starting to prepare your message. Maybe don't make the phone calls that I could whenever he asks me to make them, or I don't do the things that I could whenever he asks me. We're fallible. All of us are. But when people know us and talk to us and deal with us, they should know that we belong to God. Suppose when it comes right down to it, there is a God in heaven, and we do want to go to spend forever with him and enjoy the eternity and the sinlessness and the robes of righteousness and the indestructibility and the immortality that he has to give each and every one of us. I would say, take a little bit of time with God here and now. He has other blessings to give to each one of us that will make your life so much better. You can enjoy peace and power and comfort and strength and more just by turning up at his throne room in prayer and being faithful to what he tells you to do day in and day out. And understand that the Old Testament Jesus, or the Jesus of the Old Testament, is the Jesus of the New Testament. He is the God behind the Word of God. It's the same Jesus. And the same Jesus that saved and helped all the apostles and disciples in the Old Testament and New Testament, he will help and save us too. I'm going to stop there. Thank you for your good time. I know that might have been a little bit dry with all the Bible reading, but I appreciate your attention. God bless you. Amen. We'll be dismissed with a wee hymn. All we've got to do is find one. Hymn number 150 in the big book. 150 in the big book. My faith has found the rest in grace. Hymn number 150. If you're able, stand as we sing.
I need no one.
Okay. Let's we'll just bow our heads and we'll be dismissed with a wee prayer. Heavenly Father, please bless us as we go our separate ways and see us safely there. And Lord, let us not forget, dear Lord, and all the things that we do and in the way that we behave. And Lord, I'm just glad you never change and you're still on the soul saving life fixing business. Lord, we ask all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, according to the will. Amen. 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 Folks, that's us. God bless you. Shake hands and fellowship for a bit. We are dismissed.